welcome to Car Rider Line, which is our CCISD podcast that dives deeper into a wide range of educational initiatives with experts from our community and within our school district. Today, we have a very important topic of conversation. I'm joined by Ms. Christina Ford, and we will be talking about student mental health, very important topic in our school district and across the world. And so can we first start off by you introducing yourself and your role within CCISD?
Absolutely. So I'm Christina Ford. I'm very excited to be here today. I am a CCISD grad, and I am starting my 16th year in education. So I started off as a third grade teacher at Ward Elementary. And then while I was teaching, I worked to get my master's of counseling and then was fortunate enough to be hired as the counselor at Whitcomb Elementary. And then while I was working at Whitcomb, I worked to earn my LPC or my licensed professional counselor. And then I worked there for several years. And then when the safety reopen committee hired 15 new counselors, student support counselors, I was fortunate enough to be hired on at Space Center Intermediate as their intermediate student support counselor. And now I am in my second year as the coordinator of counseling and student services. So my main role is to help support the growth of our counselors throughout our district. I assist and support them in any way that I can. I also help support our district's social and emotional learning growth and have worked through, I have a certification of trauma and resilience specialist. And so I help with our trauma sensitive and resilience focused staff training and student focused training.
Awesome. Very important role to our school district. Thank you for joining us. And for our viewers on Facebook, we are recording live, so you can ask questions if you have something that you want answered throughout the show today. We will be taking some questions from Facebook. Before the show started, we were talking about just our new normal and how mental health for all employees and students has always been an important topic of conversation within our school district. It's always been a main focus of making sure we're meeting the needs of the whole student, the whole staff member. But over the last 7 months, you know, that has changed and shifted and evolved, and we've had to adapt in new ways around the topic of mental health. And we're seeing, new initiatives pop up and making sure that we're not just always on edge with everything we do. And so we are doing a lot behind the scenes for staff members as well. Right. And I know that this topic is very broad.
Yes.
And very, we could talk for hours.
Absolutely.
But we're going to cover mainly student focus today and how it applies to while they're in school and some tips for parents to utilize at home. And everything we talk about will be published, and we will also, any URLs or links to articles that we may find helpful for parents, we can link in the show notes. Talking about mental health and resiliency, what does it mean? What does resiliency mean in terms of students and staff?
So resiliency, right? So when we talk about resiliency, what we mean is we're looking for hope. And so we're looking for what we want is hope for our students. And we're wanting our students to really focus. And I'm sorry, I'm having we're wanting our students to really focus on what hope means. Mm-hmm. And so when we look at that, we're also thinking about our students being able to overcome adversity. And these 7 months, like you said, have been such a challenge. And so helping our students really learn how to bounce back when things might not go the way that they want them to, or really helping our students understand that we can grow and that we can learn. And resiliency is a science. It's a brain science.
Right.
And it's not something that we're all born with. It's something that we can continue to grow and to learn from. So that's what we mean when we talk about resiliency.
And so mental health, mm-hmm. That's a huge part of where we are at. And how are we supporting students and checking in with students now that we've pretty much phased in, we've completed our phase-in approach for the school year? And, I know that We're doing a lot behind the scenes, but what are some ways that we can tell our public that we're checking in with students and making sure we're...
It's a great question, because these 7 months have just been hard on all of us, but especially our students and their mental health. And so our district, like you said, we have been doing a lot of things behind the scenes, but we're doing so many things to try to intentionally support the mental health of our students. Between the counselors and the staff, we're all invested in doing everything that we can to support the mental health, not just the academic piece. So for our staff, when they came back, we really intentionally tried to help them, even though, like you said earlier, it's always been a focus. Mm-hmm. It's something that teachers are always committed to, making sure that we're supporting students in all different ways. We really made an intentional way to empower and equip our staff with tools to support. Mm-hmm. So some of the things that we're doing is we have provided staff and encouraged them to complete mental health check-ins with their students throughout the day. And the point of this mental health check-in is to help gauge where our students are coming in the learning process. Mm-hmm. We know stressed brains can't learn. And if our students are stressed when they're walking in the door, we have to be able to meet them where they are so that we can help them succeed academically. So that check-in can look differently. It can be an emoji that the kids are posting on its learning chat. It can be a GIF. It can be a scale that they put 1 through 5, letting the teachers know how that they're doing. Mm-hmm. So the mental health check-ins are a great goal for that teacher connection.
And that's being done both in the classroom and through Clear
Connections.
Yes.
So they're doing it virtually also through It's Learning with our Clear Connections students. Absolutely. It's encouraged every day as much as they can to check on our students. So it's been really neat. We've gotten some great feedback of that connection they've built with the students and really seeing where they are and how we can support them in different ways. So it's a goal to see how they're struggling. There's a couple other things that we've been doing. Our classes are all encouraged to hold class or morning meetings. Mm-hmm. And all K to 12. And that's really a way to build community. And when we build community, we help with that safety, that connection, and we help provide an avenue for students to be emotionally aware. And when we do all of those three things, we're supporting mental health. Right. And so that's happening through all of our campuses.
And that's one of the main things that we heard from parents is and students is the reason that they wanted to get back is so they can connect and
yes.
they can connect with their peers, with their teachers. There's something about being in person and being around other people. It's just it. If you're not stuck at home, you're at school, you get to go to do the normal things, most of the normal things that you would normally get to do. And these kids are just, it's just crazy to see. I go through our Twitter feed of our different campuses who post activities in the classroom, and they just have, you can tell they're smiling under their mask.
You can.
I mean, they're doing activities that they didn't get to do at home that, you know, when everything was derailed in March, it was a shock to everyone's system. So to see them interacting with their teachers and their peers, it's just been a joy to see that as well. And for our students who are at home, who are still able to engage with their classmates.
Absolutely. We all need human connection.
Right.
And I think we found that even more when we were abruptly taken away from that connection that we can have with each other. So it's so nice to see the smiles under the masks of the students and the teachers
right.
of getting that connection again, whether it's virtually or in person.
So the mental health check-ins, that can even translate at home with the parents completing their own mental health check-in.
Absolutely.
What are some ways that parents can do their own sort of mental health check-in that may mirror what the kids are doing in school? And maybe what are some ways that they can look for signs that their child needs to be?
Have some support.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So there are a lot of ways. The mental health check-ins can be different. We all know that when we go home and ask our kids how their day was, how was your day? They say fine, right? A lot of times when we just ask those short questions, we don't get that answer. So some mental health check-ins that you could do with your kids are send me a GIF that shows me your day. Right. And you as you see the patterns of the gifts, that opens up conversations to see what's happening. They could send you an emoji of how your day is through a text message or through anything. You're still communicating with them and you can bring up a conversation. The key about check-ins is consistency. It doesn't have to be something fun every single day, but if your child knows you're going to say, okay, on a scale of 1 to 5, tell me how your day was,
right.
1 being the worst day ever, 5 being the best day you've ever had, it's consistency. Your child knows you're going to ask that that question.
Right.
And then you can start seeing patterns. If you start seeing your child is saying it's the worst day ever, the gifts or emojis that they send you are showing distress. Maybe it's a sad or an angry right. or an upset emoji or gif. Then you can start asking more questions as into what is happening. What tell me more about this emoji. Tell me right. what made you do this emoji today. What happened today that caused you to say that? So those are how the mental health check-ins can be facilitated at home. Mm-hmm. In addition to the how is your day question.
Right. And those students will know that they're going to be prompted instead of how is your day, why are you stressed? Why are you happy? Why yes, are you sad? Yes. What made you that way?
And what is happening in your day? What right. happened in your day to make you
and
show that?
And how can
that?
I help?
Right.
Awesome.
So I think some signs. You also asked about signs. Yes. It's mental health, I think the hard part when we see mental health struggles or kids struggling, we want a quick fix or we want something overt that's telling us right away that our child is struggling. And the hardest thing ever is to see your child struggle. Mm-hmm. And so it is looking for those patterns, looking when your children are maybe not doing the things that they typically do. Do they typically come home and maybe they're chatty? And they are always bouncing around the house and now they're going to their room and not wanting to talk to everyone. Those are things that you can clue in on to try to open up some open-ended conversations of, I'm worried about you. I noticed that you are going into your room and you normally come in and hang out in the house. Mm-hmm. Those type of things are the signs to look for, is right. just changing behaviors and not replacing them with anything else. Right. And that's when you can reach out to a counselor, reach out to a teacher at your campus, reach out to their doctors, reach out to someone if you need some extra support of right. what's going on.
Because our parents, I mean, you know, everyone was impacted by everyone. What we've been through. So our parents who may be struggling may need that help to say, I need to help myself and I need help with my child as well. So not being afraid to recognize the signs mm-hmm. and then take the necessary steps. So going back to resiliency mm-hmm. and building that in our students yes. and children, can you give – how can we build resiliency?
There are so many studies out there. And when you go back to all of the research that has been done on resiliency, there's four common factors that tell us that what we can do to help grow resiliency in our students. So the very first factor that we know of how we can grow resiliency in our students is a supportive adult relationship. So Harvard University and many other people say that the single most common factor of children who develop resiliency is one stable, committed relationship. So helping our students, whether it's at home, whether it's through a teacher, whether it's through a mentor, mm-hmm. having that one stable child relationship. The second one is self-efficacy. And so what self-efficacy is one's capacity to believe that they can do something. So I believe that I can go out and run a mile, or I believe that I can really work to complete this math problem. That's self-efficacy. It's belief in themselves and a sense of self-control. So I can control. I have some type of control in my life, whether it's what I wear today, whether it's what I eat, or some type of perceived sense of control. I can complete this assignment on time. That helps build resiliency. The third is adaptive skills and self-regulatory capacities. So being able to be emotionally aware of what is going on in our bodies when we're feeling some type of emotion and being able to regulate it. And also having skills about how we adapt to hard, stressful situations. We are all, the past 7 months, constantly in stressful situations and hard situations, all of us.
Right.
And so what we've done in the past might not work for us now. And so it's working with our children. It's modeling and helping them realize that we're handling stress in different ways and what can we do.
Right.
And the final thing about building resiliency is having something that provides meaning in your life, whether it's anything that can give you a sense of value. Is it a passion? Is it a hobby? Is it something that your family does, a family tradition? Something helps build resiliency. So those are the four things that all researchers say help build resiliency in our students.
And we're constantly changing. I mean, whether it's a storm or it's, yes. you know, COVID or, you know, the challenges that we're facing to reopen our schools mm-hmm. that staff members and parents and students are facing. It's that constant, like you said, the constant person, the gratification, knowing that you completed something. It could be something small to something, to a large project or a large accomplishment.
Absolutely.
And maybe in these times, a small accomplishment is enough.
It's absolutely enough. Sometimes just getting up when your alarm went off the first time and not pressing that snooze and getting up and all of that is that small accomplishment that we can focus on. Maybe it's not all that bigger, the bigger, huge goals.
Right.
We've got to go back to the small things, the small daily tasks that we accomplish.
In our new normal.
Right.
And that's being supported even through our classrooms.
Absolutely.
And, you know, having that teacher who could be your constant, our mentor, we have a great mentorship program. I know it's kind of derailed right now because of not allowing visitors into our school, but there's still ways that our volunteers and our mentors are reaching out to those students that they've connected with, and pretty soon we'll be able to implement that back into our schools.
Absolutely.
So let's start with students on where students specifically can go if they need help, both inside and outside school.
Absolutely. So there, when we talked about where students can go, really it goes to who they're connected with. Always start with who you're comfortable with. If we're struggling with something, we don't typically reach out to a stranger right away. We want to reach out to someone we're comfortable for. So our counselors and our teachers have done wonderful things to try to adapt to our new normal this year. With having kids in brick and mortar and Clear Connections, we have virtual counseling offices where students can go. We have QR codes around the campuses that students can let counselors know that they need someone if they're a person they're connected with. So on campus, at school, if a student is struggling, it's finding that person they're connected to. And if it's a teacher and that teacher can't support them for all of their needs, that teacher can connect them with the counselor and work as a team with the parents to see what is going on. Outside of school, there are so many resources that are available, and now those resources are being tapped in more than ever. All of us are going through different experiences right now, and some of those experiences, we need some help with that hope factor of having that hope and being connected with others. So our counselors at our campuses have a lot of lists of resources that are the most up-to-date that we can get them of mental health supports. We've partnered with we have social work service specialists in our district, and they are phenomenal at helping link our community with our families of whatever resources they might need at that point in time. I think another thing besides going to a resource, besides going to talk to a counselor, I think those self-regulation skills are so important. And one of the best things that I've heard of, and it's a quick brain tip if we can go there for those out there. A lot of people might have heard of the flipping your lid. So it talks about the part of your brain and your amygdala is your fire detector, and it flips your outside brain where you can't cognitively think. But one thing that I've just learned recently, because when people say brain science to me, even as a mental health professional, my brain is not always clear. So one tip going away is I've heard it with three animals. If we can share, that might be some help that if people aren't there, this is something they can do to regulate themselves. So you have a meerkat, an owl, and a tiger. So your meerkat is kind of your smoke detector in your body. And meerkats are cat-like animals. And what they do is they're always on alert. And they're always on alert trying to tell people if there is danger. And so when there's danger, they scream out to let people know they might not be safe. But then we also have an owl. And an owl is, what are owls known for? They're smart, they're wise, they're problem solvers.
Right.
They think through things. They're the part of our brain that can solve problems. And then we have a tiger. And a tiger is known for playing and resting, but also being ferocious. And if they think that they're in danger, we're going to run. We're going to fight. We're going to try to survive.
That confidence.
That confidence. Mm-hmm. So in your brain, you've got the meerkat. And when your meerkat senses danger or stress or anything, it tells our, it screams out, and our owl, which is our problem solving, our thinking, flies away. And we think with our tiger, which is that ferocious fight, flight, or freeze. So I've just been using that when I work with people this year or students at home who are stressed. Mm-hmm. When we're almost reacting in a way that's like that tiger, that fight, that ferocious way, that means all of our cognition and our way to problem solve is gone. Mm-hmm. And so if we can tell our meerkat that we're safe, deep breathing or steps like that are helpful to get our owl to come back and to think through and be able to think clearly to help ourselves or help others. So a quick tip.
I love that. And, you know, I know that some of these extracurriculars are things that students used to do. You know, we are trying to get back to giving them those opportunities.
Yes.
And most, you know, whether it's sports or visual and performing arts, you know, they do have those opportunities. But if there has been a change in those students' lives, find something that brings you joy, that brings you
absolutely
hope, and that maybe takes away from your stress, whether it's reading or drawing or going outside for a walk. I mean, that's all that we did for a few months is because we couldn't go anywhere. So we took that time. And I think that's a true benefit is that time to reflect on ourselves and with our families and as a school district of, you know, how we're reimagining, mm-hmm. how we're educating.
Absolutely.
Children nowadays. So I think it's pushed all of us to become better, and
we've become more resilient. We've all worked on that science of finding hope, right? And finding a way to know that we can bounce back and become even stronger after adversity happens or after struggles happen.
And so for parents who need support, what are some ways that they can reach out?
Absolutely. So we, as a district, are always here for parents. So there, and if we're always here as much as we can. Right. So if you see that when we talked earlier about their children, maybe not doing the things that they used to or not finding that joy that you just talked about, your pediatrician, your medical doctor, those are people to always start with. But on a district level, the counselors at your campus, your teachers who are there for your children every single day that know your children, reach out to them and talk to them, because as a team, we can see things in different aspects. You see what's going on at home and we see what's going on at school, so we can work together to support your children and support you at home. So we have community resource lists also, like we talked about, but really just reaching out and working as a team to support not only the parents, but also the children.
And I think it's important that no problem is insignificant.
Absolutely.
If you're a student who's looking for support and, you know, it's don't be afraid to ask. Mm-hmm. And or don't be afraid to just say, I don't want to go into it. I just need a resource list or whatever you need from your counselor.
And it doesn't always have to be a mental health resource list. It can be, my niece is doing virtual learning in Chicago and she doesn't understand how to upload her assignments.
Right.
And it's been so stressful.
Right.
And just reaching out for that help. And what she did, it was all better, right?
Right.
But it's just those little things that are so big.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And our campuses, you know, there are teachers and administrators are just, they're there to help. And if you're not getting your answer, you know, there's many people you can reach out to.
Absolutely.
Both on your campus or at the district level.
And if you're not getting a response, especially with everything that's going on, everyone is doing the best that they can, email again, reach out again. And if you still don't get a response, reach out to someone else.
Right. And I think the other maybe positive of this whole 7 months is things are virtual now. Things are more accessible. They're right. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to leave your house. You can set up a one-on-one counseling session with your pediatrician or your counselor or your family counselor, whatever it may be. The resources are virtual. The meetings are virtual. So if you don't feel comfortable, you know, reaching out in person or going to your teacher or counselor or a parent would rather reach out for other, rather than the school, reach out for support somewhere else. That's the beauty of where we're at as well, is, you know, we can do things virtually and get the support that we need. Is there anything else that you'd like to cover?
I think just going back to the fact that this topic, number one, is so broad.
Right.
We could talk for hours. But the fact that we are resilient and that connection is so strong, is so important right now. And that we know that everyone's doing everything that they can to support our students. But if they need help to reach out, and we'll do whatever that we can to help build that resiliency or hope and help in whatever way we can.
Perfect. And like we said previously, all resources, we'll compile a list and post them in the show notes. And you can also visit our website, cciic.net, for more information on our guidance and counseling services. But I think if you don't have anything else, I think that's where we will end it. Thank you for tuning in. And if you're listening to us on Facebook, be sure to subscribe to Car Rider Line in your Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast, so you're notified whenever there is a new episode. But thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.